You're listening to the It's Her Time podcast with Cody and Jess. Welcome back to the It's Her Time podcast. My name is Cody Sanders, and I'm a holistic health practitioner and functional nutritionist. And my passion is helping us women understand our overall health and well-being and how we can be our own best health advocates. And on today's episode, I'm excited to introduce you to a special guest. Her name is Julia Blackwell, and she is a fascia release expert. Now, fascia is all over our bodies, and it is an area of our body that helps to signal and communicate and to control that communication throughout our body. It's fascinating. We're going to dive into all about what fascia is and how we can use this fascia release in order to help support our body in releasing and helping to improve flow, as well as helping to support natural healing. But before we dive into all of this, let's join Jess for a Mixers Girl Say. Today on our Mixers Girl Say, we are going to go through worst travel stories.
Okay.
Worst travel stories. It's that time of year. It's spring. We're all starting to get ready to go on some trips, hopefully.
Yes.
I booked a trip to Hawaii.
Fun.
I need some sunshine, so I can't wait for sunshine.
Yeah.
So worst travel stories. Do you have one?
Oh, I'll think of one.
I'm sure I have some too. All right. Unloading at the passenger drop-off in the dark. Tripped over a ramp, fell, and broke my lumbar spine.
Ow. Okay.
Sheesh. Didn't know what had happened, so I still went on the trip, albeit I was grouchy and crying the whole time.
Yes.
Came home, found out, wondered why. Like,
oh my
of course
gosh.
You were miserable on
yes,
your trip.
That's so peaceful.
She's like, I'm okay. I'm okay.
I'm on vacation.
Okay.
Vernon Barrett.
On a flight, my seat neighbor started to pray out loud, asking that we wouldn't crash.
Oh. Sad.
Oh my gosh. I was asleep on a flight when I woke up to something wet dripping down my legs.
Oh my gosh. No. What? I'm scared.
Realized it was the old lady sitting in front of me peeing.
No. What?
I don't know.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, okay. Like on a plane?
Yeah.
I'm like trying to picture this. I don't really know that I want this picture in my head, but okay.
Yeah.
Maybe they hadn't turned that like, you can unfasten your seatbelts, you know, light, and it was just an emergency or something.
Yeah, this happened to me.
Oh, no. Okay. Let's
hear it. TSA at the airport, someone thought that my fiber powder was cocaine, and I got pulled aside and searched for an hour. This happened to me with my pre-workout years ago, flying international.
Yes, it does
had
happen.
Had a pre-workout bottle.
Yeah.
And I was pulled aside for over an hour. And I'm like, just throw it away. Like,
I know,
like, just throw
it
away. Don't care this much. That happened to me. But I will finish this up.
Okay.
I just had a memory of a travel story that will blow
you've traveled so much.
Your mind.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I'm alone flying with my three kids. Okay.
Okay.
Flying to Russia. The flights like overseas were always fine, but it was like once you're in a foreign country, just all sorts of crazy experiences. So I was flying to get to St. Petersburg, Russia, just like last leg of the flight. And I'm in the middle. It's like the middle of the flight. I have me and my twin daughters with me in an aisle. My cute son is just right behind me in the aisle. And all of a sudden, like my kids are sound asleep because we'd just been traveling forever.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they were asleep. I had been asleep. I wake up and there's like hustling around me in the flight. We're flying. I'm like, what is going on? I look across the aisle. There is a man having a full-on seizure, foaming.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Everything. He died.
No.
On the plane.
Oh, that's so sad.
It was so sad.
Traumatic.
And then I'm like,
what on earth?
So,
and then there was like nowhere to, well, we were like close enough to the destination that we just flew to St. Petersburg. They just came and they just brought a blanket.
And just put it over him.
And just put the blanket over him. And the people next to him.
They had it to was just like, stay in their seat and stuff.
And then we all had to sit on the plane for like 2 hours after while they came in, got him. Oh sorry, it wasn't maybe that funny. Was it was just funny crazy. At all,
but that like, is, yeah, that's crazy. It is
I just
crazy.
Remember like getting off the plane and being like, what on earth just happened?
Being, you know, alone with your kids.
Yeah, and I just was trying to keep them like, because I woke up. And
don't
I was
think it
to
can
keep
get
them,
worse.
Like,
and then it,
on their iPads and like.
Yeah, yeah. Were they aware of anything that was going on?
Asher knew. I mean, Marla were too little.
Yeah. My daughter was a flight attendant for a long time and she would come home with stories like this a lot. And so
it's so sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And I don't want to like end this little segment on such a sad note.
So then there was this time. Oh, I have one more funny story.
Okay, good.
One more. This is actually funny. My brother, he used to work in India.
Okay.
So he would fly back and forth to India all the time. Mm-hmm. It's so exhausting. One time he was so tired traveling completely alone. He fell asleep on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
They landed and he woke up and his whole face was just soaking wet. He'd been drooling, but then he looked at the man's shirt next to him, like a light blue dress shirt. My brother had fallen asleep and like had his head on the guy's shoulder, drooled all over the guy. He's like, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. And the guy, listen how cute this is. The guy was like, it's okay. I've been there and I could just tell you were really tired.
Oh,
and like let him just drool. Just drool. And then my brother's like.
Oh, I love this man.
I know. But there's nothing worse than being on a flight and like your head's just bobbing. So like, what a nice guy.
Yeah, he's so
like,
nice.
Just let me drool. Anyway, that's our Mixers Girls Say segment for today. I hope I turned the mood around.
You did. Success.
Okay, let's go into the episode.
Mixers is a company made for women by women. Each of our products have been carefully and lovingly crafted to support you in all stages of your life, providing you with the optimal health you deserve. Each ingredient we handpick is 100% all natural, backed by science, and chosen specifically to better your life physically, mentally, and hormonally. Each product empowers your body to take charge of its monthly hormonal shift and flows, empowering you to live life to the fullest. Let Mixers take care of your needs from sunup to sundown, and you take care of the rest. Check us out at mixers.com, M-I-X-H-E-R-S.
Okay, ladies, you know, this topic is something that I think is new. It's brand new. We haven't talked about it before on this podcast, but it's something that I've actually been fascinated with for a long time, and I've become even more fascinated because I've learned more and more about the even bigger benefits that come from working on fascia release. And today, you know, as I described in the intro, we have a special guest. She's an expert in this, and she's going to give us all of her knowledge today so we can understand more about this. But hey, if you can just say hello, Julia, and tell everybody a little bit about you and why you became so fascinated with this and why you became an expert in the first place. That would be fun.
Oh, great. Well, thanks, Cody. Thanks so much for having me on. I love talking about fascia. I call it fascia, but it's all the same.
Yes. The tomato, tomato, right?
Yes, exactly. And yeah, you know, this has been a literal lifelong journey in this pursuit to find physical freedom for me. So I was almost a 10-pound baby. And in the process of being born, I got stuck. So in an effort to pull me out, the doctor ended up stretching and tearing most of the nerves in my right shoulder. Fun times.
Wow. Actually, sorry to jump in here, but that's interesting because I had two babies over 10 pounds and my daughter got stuck in the birth canal too. And I'm now going to be like, everything you're telling me today, I'm sure I could probably be tracing some stuff back even that far for some of the things that she's dealing with. So please continue. Amazing. I'm even more fascinated. Yes.
So, you know, I grew up going through the standard Western medicine system. You know, I had a surgery right after birth. I was about 4 months old, which did help bring my arm somewhat back online, but I was still left with a lot of tightness and limited mobility and limited strength in my right arm. And so I then went through the conveyor belts of going from doctor to doctor and therapist to therapist, essentially being rubber stamped as defective no matter where I went. You know, I went to occupational therapy for 15 years.
Wow.
You know, I did just about any modality that at least Ohio in the 90s had to offer.
Yeah.
And everything I tried made little to no difference for me. And everyone I talked to seemed to say the same thing, which was, hey, you're going to have this forever. Mm-hmm. It's never going to get any better. If anything, it's going to get worse. So just prepare yourself. So
yeah.
Great, fun, lighthearted times.
Yeah, great way to start your life, right? Out like that. You know, that's similar. My daughter was told the same thing. She was told she'd have permanent nerve damage. And, you know, luckily we were able to find ways to help her through that as well. You know, and I won't go into all of that, but I'm just going to be curious afterwards. We'll have a chat to see if there's some similar things that, you know, the little path that you guys both took. So interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm curious to hear her journey as well. Yes, I finally moved from the hills of Cincinnati out to the mountains of Boulder, Colorado back in 2010. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
And just by some amazing fateful chance, I met this lady who specifically did fascia release. And I'd never heard of the word fascia. I have a degree in exercise physiology. And I was like, what is this thing that you're talking about? I haven't heard of this. And you know, we discussed connective tissue, but it's a very fleeting topic, even in school. And so I was very excited, even though I really had no expectations that this thing was going to be any different, because I had literally tried all of the tools, all of the therapies. I'd laid on 100 tables for treatment by experts at that point. But I knew immediately that this type of work was different. And it absolutely blew me away. I saw more results in 3 months of working specifically with my fascia than I had in 15 years of doing standard treatments that most of us are familiar with. So I obviously became instantly obsessed for something that I was told was irrevocable. I was so excited to see, well, wow, if this made a huge dent in my progress, you know, it just made a lot of progress for me. What can this do for all of these other people who are experiencing not just limited mobility and pain, but maybe also nerve issues? And the list goes on. Fascia wraps around every single thing we have. And so it therefore influences the position and function of everything we have. So it's been a really fun journey the last 12 or so years. I don't want to do math, Cody. I don't know how long it's been.
Yeah, long enough that you have a good expertise and a good handle on the subject. No, I think it's so fascinating. And that's why I wanted to have you on here, because, you know, on this podcast, on the It's Her Time podcast, we mostly talk about women's hormonal health, but really we're talking about holistic health. And I'm always trying to help our audience, like, be aware of other ways that they can help to support their body in healing and in creating balance and all of this. And so, yes, I mean, you had some major physical, you know, improvements that happened through the use of fascia release. I'm used to saying fascia. So, and there's a lot to that. Like when I was back in the day, when I was a personal trainer, I studied through the National Association of Sports Medicine. And so it was about 2006 that I first became familiar with like foam rolling. So I want to kind of like lay a little foundation, because we might have some listeners right now that are like, what is fascia? What are you talking about? Like, let's just establish what that even is so that we can picture it. And then we'll go more into why this is something that is important for us to be paying attention to. So go ahead and just let us know a little bit, like the, you know, let's just make it really easy to understand what fascia is.
Yeah, absolutely. So fascia is, you know, scientifically, it is the biological fabric that organizes all of the water and material in our body. So I like to use the analogy that it's like plastic wrap. It wraps around every single muscle fiber, muscle group, bone, organ, nerve, blood vessel. Literally everything that we have in our body is wrapped in this plastic wrap suit that we have on the inside. So if it were to magically disappear out of your body, we would go tumbling to the ground in a pile of bone fragments and goo. Whereas if everything else were to magically disappear out of your body except for fascia, you would still largely look like you. Mm-hmm. So it's so important for, of course, our shape, our structure, and our texture. But where science is getting really interesting right now is finding all of these other roles that fascia is in fact playing in our body. So it's a way that we absorb shock. It's the way we keep all of our tissues hydrated to the optimal level. And it even helps with, you know, with any type of unhealthy fascia, we start to get all of the symptoms that we're so familiar with, the aches and pains, the struggling with flexibility or mobility. It's playing a role in all of these things that we tend to think is just, oh, it's just my shoulder, or it's just my back, or it's just getting old. That's my personal favorite.
Yeah.
But this tissue is how we move and we bend. And it even communicates within itself outside of the nervous system. And so we can also dive into the interesting role that that plays when it comes to stress and trauma and how fascia ends up being impacted by those types of things as well.
Yeah, I'm excited, especially to get into all of that, because obviously we know the benefit that comes like physically, you know, like, I mean, it's all physical, but you know, like when we're thinking about feeling tight and old and not able to have that mobility that maybe we once used to have, obviously there's a lot of benefits that go from there. That's why we used it when we were, you know, working with just everyday people that were trying to improve their fitness, but especially those that were athletes, you know, that were really trying to keep their bodies in peak shape so that they had balance in their strength, that they also had balance with their flexibility, because it all matters. You don't want to have one more than the other. And so important. But what I loved that you brought up is that within the fascia, that there's all of these little receptors that are in there, and it's a communication. It's a way that our body is communicating. It's that nervous system that's very connected, but even outside of the nervous system, which I think is fascinating. You know, when I was studying all of this, it was all about proprioception and like training and creating programs that were about proprioception. And I don't know if you want to explain what proprioception is, and so that we can, you know, kind of get that baseline there too. But that's a way that helps us to become more like a functional moving human, right? But there's also a lot more to it. So I don't know if you want to dive into that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Proprioceptors are little receptors that are constantly taking in information about both our external environment and also our internal environment. So many people are familiar with it in the sense of, oh, hey, stand on one leg, can you balance? And if mm-hmm. you close your eyes, can you still balance the same way? Those are all of your proprioceptors going into hyperdrive, you know, when your eyes are closed, seeing if you can figure out where your body is in space. But it really does so much more than that. It will also tell you how much force to use when you move your body, how much movement or muscle contraction is needed. And it's taking in, again, literally everything about the world around you, as well as your internal environment. So if you've experienced some trauma in your life, whether that's physical or emotional, if you have a lot of anxiety or have PTSD, your internal environment is giving a lot of signals to your fascia that things are unsafe. And in response to that, fascia may become more dense. It may become very tight and restricted because it's essentially bracing for an impact that never comes.
Mm-hmm. And then why is that a problem? You know, like I know it, we can say it's a problem, but like tell us why that like hinders our ability to heal and to progress and all of that.
So let's think of the plastic wrap analogy. If our fascia is healthy, it's like there's oil between all of those layers of plastic wrap. And any way that we want to twist and bend, it's very easy to move. Or even a wet sponge is another good analogy, where we're hydrated, we're buoyant, we can twist and move any direction that we like, and we can bounce back with a lot of resiliency. But when fascia starts to become restricted or dense, suddenly all of that oil has dried up. We start getting crumpled up areas of plastic wrap, or it's a bit more like a dry sponge. And now movement becomes very difficult. And nothing, not only just movement, but it becomes difficult for blood to flow to all of the right places. It becomes a lot more difficult to for nerves to fire with efficiency. You know, even as it relates to hormones, our lymphatic system lives in our superficial fascia. And it's very important that our fascia or our lymphatic system is able to drain out extra hormones that we don't need or cellular waste. And if we crinkle up that plastic wrap around the lymphatic system, now our body is not able to detox as efficiently. It's not able to move blood flow and hydrate all the areas that we need. So it is kind of a big deal because it wraps around every system and structure. It will affect every system and structure if it's too tight.
You did a beautiful job with that. I think that's so visual and so important. It shows the connection. Basically, it just means that when the fascia is not healthy, it actually just has a huge impact on the ability for flow in all areas, whether it's nutrient delivery or whether it's detoxification and all of this. I would usually describe it as if there's unhealthy fascia, it becomes maybe it changes from the form of like an oil, like you're describing, to glue. And it kind of creates this glue that makes it so that things get stuck. And so I know, I love that. Are there any other things that we can look for, or things, you know, that things, way things maybe would feel, or what we, I don't know, what we would notice if we have unhealthy fascia? Is there some telltale signs that we should be looking out for?
Sure. Any aches and pains. Aches and pains are not a normal part of the aging process. It's typically a result from a reduced amount of hydration that's happened in our fascia. So any aches and pains, if you wake up with an achy back or your back's hurting after too much sitting, that's a great sign. Just feeling heavy or dense or feeling less flexible than you did is a good sign as well. If you feel like you're constantly getting injured or you're chronically dehydrated, I'm like, ooh, the list goes on. There's a lot of little red flags that you're not feeling quite right in your body.
Yeah, things just aren't flowing again, you know,
that's just the
way to describe that. And so, you know, as we get older, I know it's a common thing that you mentioned, and I always say too, that we just assume that like, it's absolutely normal to just start feeling little aches and pains, feel a little stiffer and all of this. But you're saying the reason that we're feeling all of these things is because we're becoming dehydrated because there isn't enough flow or movement within the fascia. So why does that become more of a problem as we start aging?
Well, unfortunately, one thing that is strictly about aging is we lose water as we get older. And so we simply have to put more time and effort into creating that hydration and restoring that hydration more so than we did when we were younger. So if you think about a little kid, they're running around and suddenly they tumble and fall and they practically bounce off the ground. They're just so resilient because of so much hydration and buoyancy in the fascia. They have so great of an ability to absorb shock and bounce right back, like again, that wet sponge. And so it is a natural part of the aging process that we start to lose that water, but it's not to say that we can't restore the health of fascia and restore that hydration that should be there. It just takes a little bit more intentional effort.
Great. And we're all about that. We're super intentional, this community, where that's why we're here. That's why we listen to these types of podcast episodes. So is it just a matter of drinking more, or like, how do we improve the hydration of our fascia?
Yeah. So our fascia is also like a little water irrigation system. So the way that you get water to all of the areas that need it is through your fascia. So if all you did was simply drink another Nalgene of water every day, unfortunately, it's simply a recipe for you to be in the bathroom every 30 minutes because that water isn't able to go to all of the places that truly need it. And the way to get it there, number one, is through movement. So many of us are not moving the way that our bodies were designed. And honestly, myself included, we all sit a
lot. It's a problem.
We all do less activity than we should. But any type of movement will help. So even if you do work at a desk all day, can you rock your head from side to side? Can you lift your arms over your head? Can you do a few twists? Any type of movement is going to start to get that water, like little beads along the little fascial fibers, to where they need to be. And then secondly, which is more of where I come in, is through releasing fascia in the most effective way, you are going to get a massive fluid exchange and hydration rush by properly releasing your fascia.
It's so fascinating. I love that you're talking. I don't know why I nerd out on this so much, but for those of you, for those of you that have been with me for a while, or maybe even worked with me in the past, when it came to your health and fitness and overall nutrition, I would take people through health histories. And one of the biggest things that I would try to ask is how often are you hydrating yourself? And people would just always assume the reason I was asking that was because I wanted to know if they were getting their 8 glasses of water every single day. But it really was so much much more. I wanted to know how much they're drinking, but then I was always asking, how often do you need to use the bathroom when you're drinking that much water?
Ooh, great question.
And yeah. And this was a huge like telling sign for me. It was like a clue into how their body was actually delivering, you know, nutrients and delivering that hydration throughout the body. And so, you know, it also showed me like how effective their movement is, if we did need to incorporate more movement, but even go beyond that, not just our, you know, walking, running, strength training, but like, let's just spend some time. We're going to literally spend 20, 30 minutes doing some foam rolling or fascia release, you know, just to be able to get that going. Because a lot of people that were feeling like when they drank that much water, they had to frequent the bathroom more than they wanted to, or they felt like they were holding on to more water. They felt a lot of bloat. A lot of times they would think it's because their body was just taking on too much water. Well, absolutely it wasn't. It was just that there was an interruption in the ability for our body to be able to spread the benefits of that hydration to all parts of the body. So I love that you just talked about that, because I think that's something that's, I don't know that a lot of people know, and I don't know that they're putting two and two together. And that there's a big, like you can make a huge difference on how you feel and how well we support our healing, you know, through, incorporating this type of a therapy for yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I've lost count of the times, you know, clients over the years have said, I know that I just need to drink more water.
Yeah.
And I have to be like, hey, you know, that's also one piece of a larger issue here, that
right.
If you're feeling chronically dehydrated, it seems like no amount of water is really hydrating. It's because it's not getting to the right places. So That was very well said.
Yeah. And it's fascinating. And we don't need to dive into this, because I feel like I've talked about it a lot on this podcast, but even just drinking that plain water is not necessarily going to hydrate you more. It's important that you're putting nutrients back into the water, especially electrolytes that help that hydration to be able to enter into the cell. And then, you know, we help to spread that throughout the whole body through doing things like movement and through fascia therapy and things like that. So I think it's just fascinating. Okay. So now we all know we just need to drink a little bit more water, but also do incorporate the fascia training as well. Okay. Now let's dive into a little bit here, because I want to talk about injuries and like how what we're just talking about plays a part into understanding maybe why you might be a little bit more injury prone, or you feel like, especially as we start getting older, that you're not recovering as quickly as you once did. And let's talk about like why the fascia is something that's very, very involved in this.
Yeah. So fascia can start to become more unhealthy for a variety of reasons, which we can start there. So
yeah.
A big one is lack of movement, which we've touched on a little bit. Is so rarely are we taking our body through a full range of motion, or moving our joints through a full range of motion on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And that starts to stick fascia together.
Mm-hmm. Glue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It could also be really repetitive movement. So for example, if you're doing CrossFit and you're doing hundreds of squats on a weekly basis, depending on who's programming at your gym.
Yeah.
That's a very repetitive movement that you're doing over and over and over again. And the body wants to help us. It's not trying to hurt us. It's trying to help us. And so It'll start to mold us into a shape that's the most efficient for certain positions. But then when we go and try to do other activities, we think, oh, my body can't handle this anymore. Like maybe it's running, or maybe it's something that you're blaming on, oh, well, I'm just getting older, or my knees can't take it. But it's just that fascia has molded into a different position to try to help you with the things that you do most commonly. And then that starts the process, I suppose.
Yeah.
If you've had any type of a trauma, and that could be a physical trauma, like a car accident, it could be emotional trauma. And I think at this point, most of us have experienced at least some form of emotional trauma. That has a big impact on our fascia as well. And any surgeries or past injuries that you maybe didn't address at the time, because it only hurt for a couple of weeks and then it went away. And largely what happens is the reason something hurt and then it went away is that your body figured out how to compensate so that you no longer have to feel that pain. But we didn't actually solve the problem. And so we're building little compensation on top of compensation on top of compensation. And so these are all of the ways that fascia might get out of whack. And the number one thing that tends to happen when fascia gets out of whack is pain. And where it gets, well, for me, it's fun. For other people, it might be very frustrating, but fascia tends to get restricted in one area and cause pain somewhere else. So where you feel the pain is rarely the problem. Mm-hmm. And while that does sound possibly like a bummer to everyone listening, like, well, how am I supposed to figure it out? Well, one, I can help with that. But two, I hope it's validating for those who, let's say you've been experiencing back pain or plantar fasciitis. Those are two great examples. And you've been to the chiropractor that they cracked your back and a massage therapist worked on your back and you've been foam rolling just your back and you haven't seen any results from this. Don't worry. It's simply because you're in the wrong spot. Or plantar fasciitis, if you've been icing the bottom of your foot or rolling it on the water bottle, or you've been rolling the ball on the bottom of your foot and it's not getting any better, it's because it's not actually a foot problem. It's coming from someplace else further up the chain in your fascia. And so there is hope if you feel like you've been struggling for something with a really long time, you may simply be in the wrong place.
I think that's super hopeful. And I think that our audience, I know I, just like you, are I'm just totally fascinated by that. I think that it's important for us to understand maybe like what you're just talking about, the kinetic chain, understanding, you know, our posterior, anterior, and the way that those are balanced. And I don't know if I'm speaking for you here, so I apologize if I'm saying something that you're like, no, that's not true at all. So just correct me if I am wrong.
Okay, you're crushing
it so far. But going back to, you know, those years that I was studying this more, for instance, like a lot of times we would find that people that had plantar fasciitis, for example, it wasn't necessarily the fascia that was in their foot, like you just were saying, but a lot of times it was connected to anything that was on the posterior chain. So if it was like something like a tight hamstring or an injury that happened in the hamstring and there was that scar tissue that built, or if there was an Achilles or something like that, that was something that was actually needed to be worked on. And we would use foam rolling, for example, or other types of fascia release for people to be able to do it for themselves. And if it was severe, then obviously we had physical therapists and things like that that could help get in there just a little bit more with like Graston and stuff like that. And it was fascinating. The other thing is that's super common, especially for people who are maybe like endurance athletes, they'll start feeling that like runner's knee. Okay. So like a runner's knee, oftentimes it's not even the knee that's the problem. It can be connected to our IT band. It can be connected to weak glute, you know? So I just want to like reiterate what you're saying is that there everything on the body is connected. So even though we're feeling pain in one specific spot, if you're feeling frustrated because you're trying to address that pain that's in that spot, whether it's in your foot or your knee or wherever, and you're not finding the relief, then this hopefully is sounding hopeful for you, because I'm excited because Julie is going to help us to understand what we could be adding, you know, what we could be doing that's going to be more effective and more helpful for us. So I want to dive into that a little bit. I want to also dive into like the connection with like emotional trauma and stuff like that and how we can release that. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about like what it is that you would have somebody do. If somebody is coming to see you and work with you, which they can if they live in the Denver area, but are you also like working with people remotely?
Yeah, I do. I do one-on-ones, and I also have a online course where you can really customize your own plan and find out what you need and do it with simple tools that you likely already have, foam rollers, lacrosse balls, things like that.
I love it. Awesome. Okay, that's so great, because, you know, that's the great thing about technology is it does make it so that we have access to amazing people like you. They're such experts in this. So let's say somebody is experiencing like plantar fasciitis. I don't know why I'm honing in on that. That's probably because I've dealt with that plantar fasciitis. But let's say somebody's coming to you. And Julia, what is it that you're asking them? And then what is it like maybe first steps for you when you're trying to help them through this?
Sure. So, you know, at this stage of the game, very little surprises me. There's some pretty clear patterns that happen. Just like you were saying, plantar fasciitis happens a lot from tension through the posterior line. So there's all the fascia is connected. It's one interconnected system from the head to the toe. But there are certain strips that are a bit more interconnected than others. Mm. If you really are nerding out on this and you want to go into a deep dive, the research Thomas Myers has done called Anatomy Trains will give you a lot of insight into these specifically interconnected patterns. So you have one strip that goes along most of the front of your body, and you have one that goes along the back. And so releasing something along that posterior chain, whether it's the calf, the hamstring, or the glute, that tends to make a really big impact mm-hmm. on plantar fasciitis. But I'm also looking at the whole body. Because fascia is one system, I need to look and see how everything is interacting together as mm-hmm. one unit. So I often find that plantar fasciitis is a result of the hips being shifted or rotated, and it's simply a different wear and tear pattern happening on one side as opposed to the other.
Interesting.
So it could be a few different things, but mm-hmm. when people come into my office, I I pin and compress fascia with my foot, which my clients lovingly refer to as being stepped on.
Interesting. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody do that. So interesting.
It's my own amalgamation of many things and modalities I've learned over the years. But cool. I compress that area and then have them do a very specific range of motion. So the active release component is very, very important. It's contacting all of those proprioceptors. It's engaging the nervous system. And I've just found over the years that the active part of the release is what allows fascia to change quickly and actually stay changed for the better. Mm. So many of us are used to more passive type of treatments, right? We just lay there and have someone do something to us and make that change to our body for us,
right?
Which still can work. But if we want to do it in a very efficient way and make the change last longer, that active movement component is so important. So amazing. We'll go through a series of ranges of motion based on the areas that feel like a dry sponge, or you know, areas that feel like a crumpled up ball of plastic wrap. And for those that are working virtually, you can do the same thing. Instead of my foot to compress those areas, though, you're simply using a massage ball or a roller, and you're still going through that active range of motion, which is just as effective. Those principles of changing fascia remain the same.
So cool. I love that. It makes me want to fly to Denver just to have you work through that with me, because I think that's super fascinating. That's
awesome.
Oh my gosh,
come out anytime.
I know. I'm not too far, just one state away. So you just might be seeing me in person. Super cool. Well, that's amazing. So yeah, so I wanted to just point this part of it out, because I do feel like we have talked a couple of weeks ago. We had an amazing pelvic floor therapist that came on, and she was a guest, and she talked about how common it is, especially for women, but for men as well, just humans, to have like their pelvises be kind of imbalanced. You know, there's a lot of trauma that happens down there for us women, especially if we've had children, or, you know, there's just a lot of things that can happen to cause, or just even to the fact that we're sitting in our job, you know, like sitting more than we should every single day, there can become imbalances there. And so I think that it's just important when we're having this conversation that we're realizing that we might not notice that there's an imbalance happening in our pelvis, but we might be feeling it in our back or our neck or our ankle, or our, you know, there might be things that are being manifest in other areas of our body, but could be traced back to certain like areas of the body that have the imbalance. And I love that I know I was talking about posterior and anterior and stuff like that, but it's true. Everything front, back, all around, it's all connected. And it's important for us to kind of look at all different areas, and having somebody like Julia that understands the body and this whole system so much better to really look and see like where there is some like imbalance, there's weakness, maybe there's overstrength, there's, you know, some imbalance there to help work through some of that. I think it can be invaluable for us as far as helping to support our body and just feeling its best and helping to support that flow and everything that comes with having overall just health and wellness. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, and something that I'm really passionate about after going through my own journey and working with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of clients at this point is I really want people to understand that it's not as difficult as you think it might be. I'm absolutely here to help, and I love helping people on this journey. And once you get to know your body a little bit mm-hmm. more and start working on your fascia and seeing what is your body feeling like? What is it trying to tell you? You have that inner wisdom in your body, and you may find on your own the right area to release for the pain that you have. It's not always these perfect cookie cutter patterns. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a little bit different. We all have different experiences in life. We all have different postures and traumas and all of these little idiosyncrasies. And I've seen so many amazing things happen when people simply start exploring their fascia on their own. Mm. They don't always need someone who is an expert or holding their hand 100% of the time. And I love seeing that. That's one of my favorite parts about my job is one of my clients that I haven't seen in a while will send me an email and they'll be like, oh my gosh, Julia, I had that little bit of knee pain that came back. And I went and I rolled my hip flexor and my T-band just like you showed me. And it's totally gone now. And I haven't felt it in a week. And I was like, ooh, that's the thing. That's the thing that I get really excited about mm-hmm. is once you figure out what's happening in your own body, you get to take that power back, mm-hmm. get to take ownership of your body again and work through these things on your own because you know what your body needs.
Oh, so well said. And I love, that's what makes you a great practitioner because, you know, a lot of times I think that that part gets missed. We kind of are, I don't know if we're taught or told, I don't know how this message gets to us, but we often think that we have to refer to somebody else to be the expert on us. But if we can tune in and understand our bodies, how our body is trying to communicate with us, and through this system, it's another language in a way that our body is communicating so much to us. And it's true. You know, Julia is an amazing practitioner and she helps people to heal, but she's not necessarily the healer. You're the teacher. You're helping people to understand this, you know, this healing modality, you know, and use how to use these certain tools that are available to help support your own healing journey. And I love that. That's what I loved. You know, when I talk to different practitioners, I can always tell you who my favorites are, who the ones that are the best, because that's their approach. They're trying to help to empower us as their patient or whoever to be able to do this on our own, to be able to take this on ourselves as well. And so, yeah, a lot of the tools that you use, Julia, are probably things that are not very expensive to get your hands on. I know I bought a foam roller for maybe $30. You know, it's not like you can't find these anywhere. A tennis ball is a baseball, very effective, you know, things like that. And so there's a lot of things that we can do just even on our own and to take care of things that maybe, you know, felt like it was impossible to help fix. But by doing this and listening to your body, working with your body, you can really support your own healing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that. So this is awesome. So, okay, before I know we're going a little bit long, but I do want to bring this to the conversation as well, because as we've talked about, you know, this type of approach, doing fascia therapy, is going to help to support like better flow. And that's like helping with delivery of nutrients and helping with detoxification and all of that on a physical level, which is so important. But I feel like as far as if we're looking at stress, the nervous system, trauma, and things like that, this can be a really great modality to help us to release some of that as well. Because in previous episodes, we've talked about that the ways that these types of things, stress specifically, is like, it really messes with our hormone balance, our hormone health is, and stress comes from so many different things. So whether it's our body feeling like there's imbalance or there's pain or there's lack of communication, you know, the hormone system's not working the way it should, that is a huge like root cause. And so this is something that can be used as a tool along with like nutrition, better hydration, exercise, and things like this. This can be a tool for us to help us to discover more about our bodies and help our bodies to release and get into a position where there's more balance.
Yeah. You know, we touched on the fact that fascia is a highly sensitive organ, right? It's the most sensitive organ we have. It's got all those free nerve endings. It's got all those proprioceptors in there that, again, are relaying a never-ending amount of information that's mm-hmm. coming in and out. And based on that information that's coming in, your fascia can respond. And it usually does by contracting in some way. And because of what fascia is made of, it's very liquidy. Mm. You may not necessarily feel it being contracted. You know, you might be rubbing your muscles and saying, well, it doesn't feel super tight, but that may not necessarily mean that your fascia hasn't become more stuck in a contracted state based mm-hmm. off of stress or trauma that we were talking about here. And so one of the best ways to start getting back in there and getting fascia to realize that it's okay to let go is through the body and compressing that fascia. Fascia loves compression. the key is that we need to feel safe while it's being compressed. Mm-hmm. So my top recommendation when doing any type of fascia release is, how can we keep it at a 6, maybe a 7 on the intensity scale or lower? Mm-hmm. Because when we're up in that 8, 9, 10 out of 10 intensity, our nervous system will start to reject the change that we're trying to make, and your fascia may continue to feel in that unsafe state. So we need to make sure that we're breathing deeply and that the intensity is not above that 6 or a 7. And that starts communicating to the fascia that it's okay to let go, that you're safe in the body, it's okay to experience sensation, and that it can in fact be fine in a different state. So that would be my recommendation if you're starting on this journey, is there's no benefit of beating your body into submission.
Yeah.
I've seen plenty of people come in and say that they've been foam rolling, and I'm, you know, I say, okay, let me see how you're foam rolling at home. And they are huffing and puffing and they're scrunching their face and they're really, I can see how tense they are trying to perform this movement. And I'm like, oh, we got to get this way down on the intensity scale. We want to make sure that your body is on board with this change that we're trying to make for sure.
Oh, I love that. That's so good. And just as an example of what you're talking about, you know, when I would first start people with foam rolling, for instance, the first time that they ever used it, it would hurt more. Like they would find a lot of different trigger points that were very tender. So whether it was the piriformis or it was down the IT band, especially, it seemed like those areas were especially tight, or just in the inner thigh area and stuff like that. And so, yeah, we would talk about that. Like, how would you rate the pain level on a 1 to 10 scale? And we would do things to modify to make sure that it wasn't at that 10. And then we talked a ton about, like, as we're finding these little trigger points or these painful little spots, they're kind of like the knots that you feel like in your back, right? Like, so when you're like, how do I know if there's, you know, like something that's happening there with the fascia? Well, if you feel like a little knot or a tender spot, that's usually a place where the fascia may be stuck a little bit. And so when you'd find those little trigger points, we would try to go through the breath and we would try to release, holding it there for about 15 to 30 seconds. And this might be old school, so you can totally like correct me here, Julia, but I just feel like that was what worked really well. And as people used that breath, they were able to signal to their nervous system that they weren't in danger, that this was something that was a sensation, that yes, they were feeling it, they were aware there was an area of their body that needed some attention. But as they used their breath, they found that these little trigger points would just kind of melt. They'd melt away, you know, in the best, I don't know if that's what's really happening, but that's how it seemed to happen. And then the more consistent they were with doing this type of work, the less and less trigger spots that they would feel, the less pain that they would perceive, and, you know, all of this. And so it was something that, it was hard to convince people at first that this was a good idea to spend, you know, 10 minutes before a workout, after a workout to do this. But then once they started feeling the benefit of it, it was something that they actually looked forward to doing on a consistent basis and on their own. They didn't have to just have me hovering over them, telling them to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's the thing that is a great point to make, is it may feel more intense at first. You may need to add some more padding. You may need to use less weight on the roller or with the ball, but it does get better and better with consistency, and you may see results way sooner than you think. We're not talking months here. In a matter of days sometimes, or weeks, with the right movements as you compress, those spots get better quickly. And if those spots for some reason aren't getting any better, then that's your indication that will say, oh, this isn't actually the root cause. All these knots I'm feeling and my IT band or wherever it is, this is not actually the root cause of my problem. Where else can I go exploring? Especially with stress, you know, I've heard a lot about stress being stored in the hips. And I do think that's true to a degree. But what I found is energy and trauma can be stored absolutely anywhere in the body. I've had more emotional releases happen in my office than I can count. And they happen all over the place. They could be in the neck, they could be in the ribs, they can be in the bicep, you know, someplace you have no idea that thing is stuck and congested in that area. And once we get it flowing, that energy is finally released. So I definitely recommend moving around the body anyways, even if you think your problem is just in a knee or just in a hip, move around because mm-hmm. that stress, we don't get to pick where that stress or trauma is distributed, but that's our fascia true. Is holding on to it. You know, one of my mentors used to say that fascia is like the paper that our life story is written on.
Oh,
and yeah. so going exploring all through the body to get to know your own body and see where you personally are holding that stress or holding that tension is an important part, that exploration process for sure.
I love that. And it's a beautiful thing. And I know sometimes it's a very unexpected occurrence when somebody is going through that and all of a sudden emotion starts to be released, because we don't always connect the dots and we don't always understand why. But knowing that that's just a natural occurrence, and that is something that actually is such a benefit to us, is to be able to actually have that emotional as well as that physical release. It can do so much to help to support our nervous system health and balance and just overall healing ability and everything. And so I love this. This has been such a fun conversation. Julie, I know that everybody's going to want to now come to Denver too and come meet you face to face. But for those of us that don't live as close one state away, what are some ways that we can best connect with you, and how can we learn from you even more about this?
Sure. Well, I am the most active on Instagram, and my handle is @movementbyjulia. Or you can head over to movementbyjulia.com. I have a free Unlock Your Hips foam rolling series that you could try out some of the foam rolling techniques that I'm alluding to, but it's hard to explain over podcasting to give it a try for yourself. You're also welcome to hop straight into Roller Remedy, which is my online program where you can customize your own routine, own program. There's programs you can follow for certain pain points like back pain, neck pain, sciatica. But there's so many things you may not think are fascia related that truly are. So it's a fun way to start diving into all of the areas of your body and releasing all of the points that you think might be causing this pain. And it's a great way to just get your feet wet and start doing things on your own.
I love it. And we'll put all of those ways to connect with you in our show notes so that it makes this easy for people to find you. It's fascinating. We want to be just curious, girls. We want to learn more about our bodies and how we can understand how our bodies are communicating with us. And we want to learn more about ways that we can support our body even more. And so thank you. Episodes like this, I think, are so enlightening. I know I learned so much today with you, Julia, and I know our audience has really loved learning from you as well. If you loved this episode, please share this episode with the girls in your life, because sharing is caring. And so the more that we know, the better able we are to support our own health and be our own best health advocates. Until next time, I hope that all of you have a very happy and healthy week, and we'll talk soon. All right. Thanks, Julia.
Thank you so much.